The fun week continues. While there's a lot of fun to be had in Kansas City as the NFL draft continues, the Chicago Bears continue to be on the clock. We'll see how the rebuild continues, and Paulie's Vegas Raiders continue to make some interesting picks. We'll see how it works out for you in the AFC West. But Paulie, I have to shout out to you. Normally, Devin is the one who's bringing us some awesome guests, but you hit one out of the park, pun intended. What do you got for us here on the Sports Cubicle with the marvelous one, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado?
Well, as our listeners know, I'm a big baseball fan, and I was happy to get a correspondence from the Schaumburg Boomers, a local minor league team here in the Chicagoland area. And we have the privilege today of Michael Larson, the vice president and general manager of the Boomers, joining us today. Michael, thank you so much for being a part of the Sports Cubicle today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to get out and talk a little sports.
So you've been with the Boomers for a few years now, And I want to say even through the COVID pandemic, but now that you've been there for a few years, what are some of your favorite things about being in that position with the Boomers?
It's kind of funny you brought up the pandemic, because I've been here 5 years. The pandemic would have been year three. So I had 2 years pre and 2 years post. And, it feels almost like a lifetime ago that was going on, because things were so crazy. We went from, not sure if we're going to have a season, we're being shut down or all this stuff, to a month later, we're partnering with the Chicago White Sox to be the alternate site for the White Sox. A week later, we're partnering with the Chicago Blackhawks to be the location for their viewing parties for all of their playoff games, because they were stuck in a bubble. And then like 6 months later, we're coming back and bigger, better, stronger, all kinds of stuff going on, win a championship. We're in a championship again last year. It's been just like a constant wild ride for the last 2.5 years. I'm looking forward to continuing that.
So how important is it being the Chicagoland area, obviously being a part of so many different times and changes, even with just such a short period, but being attached to the Chicagoland area, and you're not just competing with the local favorite professional teams, the minor league teams, and you're competing with all types of entertainment. And one of the big days for you, the Super Bowl for the Boomers, is opening day coming up. How important is it to make sure you're constantly keeping up and making sure you're having the top-notch entertainment for the fan base, knowing the local competition, not just in Schaumburg, Rosemont, some of these, but the entire Chicagoland area?
It's interesting you bring that up. I've been in baseball for 18, 19 years now. I was in Fargo for 10 years, Idaho Falls, Alexandria, all over the place. This being in Schaumburg here was the first time ever being in a shared market. Everywhere else I've been, we were the team. The team I was with was the team for that market. And being in Chicagoland here, I mean, you got two major league teams, you got six minor league teams, you have every kind of entertainment venue that you could possibly imagine, especially Schaumburg. I mean, Schaumburg, just right here in our own backyard, has almost everything you could think of, that is competing for the entertainment dollar. And I think for us, what stands apart, and what, it's the best way to say it, I think when you have that much competition, it makes you that much better, right? When WCW had NWO, it made WWF that much better, right? And when you have that much, you got to keep pushing the envelope. You got to keep, finding what your niche is, what makes you strong, and focusing on that. And I think that, what sets us apart, or what makes what we do, that focal point for us, is remembering that we are a baseball team. We're a professional baseball team in the largest MLB partner league that exists. We go from here to Quebec to Ottawa to New York. It's a big 16-team league with some great talent. We've got guys that anywhere from just graduated college to played in the big leagues for multiple years. It's a competitive market where we control all of our own talent. If a guy's not doing well, we can trade him and go get someone new. We operate with that ability to control the on-field product, and focusing on that, being a baseball team first. And then on the next level is focusing on the fan experience. It's not going to shock people if I make a little comment about Illinois kind of nickel and diming you every time you turn around. I mean, you get on the highway, there's 50 cents every half mile, and, taxes and everything is crazy. We try to establish a ballpark environment that's not going to make you feel like that. We don't charge for parking. We have two giant parking lots right here you pull right in. You don't have to pay for that. We don't charge for a kid zone if you're bringing your kids out. They want to go jump on, you know, in the bouncy houses, go down the big slides, that kind of stuff. Go right ahead and do it. We're not going to hit you every time you turn around. You know, you paid your ticket price to get to come in. That's it. And I think that those are kind of some of the real driving things for us, is to remember who we are at our core and to be the best possible version of that, and let that reflect in the experience fans get here when they come out to the stadium.
Devin, we have one of our own here, somebody repping the NWO, WCW, and WWF in the Attitude Era. And you talk about competition breeds, you know, results. And even nowadays, speaking of the wrestling term, AEW, WWE, we have a pro wrestling night coming down for the Boomers later on this summer. But Dev, you're somebody who visits the ballpark all the time on the south side of Chicago. When you hear that, what comes to mind? What do you have for Michael when you hear kind of the idea of making sure this is a destination for baseball lovers?
And I hear that. And Michael, my big thing is, you know, you guys in the city of Schaumburg, everyone knows who the Boomers are. That is like, you know, the big team there. And you talk about how you really, you know, focus on the families and take care of the fans. But what ways do the Schaumburg Boomers, you know, interact with the community of the city of Schaumburg? And how important is city and community activity between city of Schaumburg and the Boomers?
So I'm going to veer off that real quick. One of the other fun things coming out of COVID is we partnered with AEW. Cody Rhodes and some folks at the time reached out, and we did a charity softball game here at Wintrust Field with all the wrestlers from AEW. And one of the guys got a base hit using a steel chair. but back to your point. So, you know, we study a lot. When you're in business, you're paying attention to the analytics. Just like when you're in sports, you know, we're studying our guys' exit velocities. We're studying spin rates and all that stuff. We do the same thing with where our fan base comes from, you know, and we look it up. And you know, we're Schaumburg based, and we do a lot with Schaumburg, but we're also Schaumburg. Both is a municipality with a lot of people who live and work here, but it's also a destination place for a lot of people in the region. And that is reflected in our fan base. We actually draw from about a 20-mile radius. You know, 90% of our fans come from about a 20-mile radius, which takes us into Chicago, takes us up into McHenry County, takes us lakeside on the northern side. And we try to focus that, our marketing efforts in reflecting that big region. In terms of partnering with the Village of Schaumburg, they own the facility. You know, we're obviously our own team, but we're the tenant of the facility. And Schaumburg has been a phenomenal partner over the last, you know, ever since we came in. But the last 3 or 4 years, especially as we're going through a stadium capital improvement plan right now with, you know, every time I turn around, there's something new going up, you know, and something's being updated, you know, through Schaumburg or through us, either way. So that's been a tremendous support from the Village. The business community here is incredibly supportive. Something I've seen, you know, change over time. When I first got here, the suite level was maybe underperforming a little bit. In the last couple of years, we're up to 90% occupancy on our suite level, you know, and that's all B2B stuff. That's companies coming out and utilizing our big spaces. And we get a lot of support from that. But that, you know, doesn't just happen. You have to work for that. And I think that what's unique as a baseball team is that you're not just another business in the community. You are a reflection of the community's values, and you need to keep that up. So I think a lot of, you know, the way you evaluate your organization isn't what, you know, you take out of the community. It's what you put in. And we have put a huge focus on nonprofit partnerships. As many as we possibly can. We do a lot of special events. You know, all of those theme nights where we have the unique jerseys and all of that stuff is all tied to some nonprofit where they're getting 100% of the proceeds of whatever the jersey is, you know, whether it's Star Wars, Marvel, whatever. We have a series of nonprofit things that we do throughout the year. And that's really a driving force for us, is being able to utilize our resource as a bigger brand in the region, you know, locally, to help nonprofits expand their message, do fundraising, things like that. And I think that's a big part of the community presence as well.
Looking at some of these promotions that are coming up for the 2023 season, there really is something for everybody in there. You know, you were talking about making The experience affordable for the fan, and I'm seeing a 2-for-1 Busch Light beer, you know, with a bucket hat giveaway. I'm seeing a couple of dollar hot dog nights. You know, we talked about wrestling, and before the interview, you mentioned I think like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man sort of giveaway. You know, a baseball cap giveaway on Father's Day. Multiple Bark in the Park that really stood out to me, because normally you'll see maybe one a season, but I'm noticing it looks like about one every month for the summer. That's really exciting. I mean, does that, I guess where my question would go is, you know, does that bring in a broader demographic of fan that comes out to the ballpark?
It's a different group. You know, it brings up, there's a lot of crossover and people bringing dogs that don't usually bring them. But it hits a different group of people, and it really hits the suburb market really well with the, you know, folks that we have out here. And then we're able to utilize that again on the nonprofit side and put some spotlights on animal shelters and do things with a lot of the community partners on it. And those have been fairly successful with what they do. And it's a different group than we normally see.
Michael Larson joins us today here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Single, Paul Shavari, myself, Mike Mercado. We are here talking about the Schaumburg Boomers, the exciting promotional season coming up, the exciting season coming up in one of the big Chicagoland suburbs. And Michael, we've talked about being part of the analytics of what's hip, what's happening, you know, from anything of The Last of Us and House of Dragon, Succession, to Marvel and WWE, AEW, even to Harry Potter, as we've seen on the schedule. But let's talk about actually on the field. There's a lot of change going on. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of people on either side of the fence of the things we've seen. And of course, it is all the other baseball organizations, all the different leagues that kind of get the testing done first on them. They have to try out the outfits before they hit the runway, if you will. So when you see some of these rule changes, do you take it as a challenge like you do a promotional schedule, like promotional ideas and whatnot, when these kind of trends, these new ways, these new kind of ideas Major League Baseball is trying to do, how do you embrace it? Does the organization embrace it? What is that type of input like?
So we get to have some reflection of what MLB does as an MLB partner league, but we still operate independently, and as a league, we can make our own choices on what we do and don't do. For example, the larger bases is not something we put in. But we did institute the pitch clocks this year, so we'll have that for the first time. Going into the offseason, this is just me representing my own opinions, not necessarily league or whatever. I tend to be someone who likes to leave baseball alone. I feel like if you're having to explain a 130-year-old sport, you're doing it wrong, right? That being said, I think pitch clocks are really nice. I think that the game got slowed down by a lot of that time in between things. You know, shortening down between innings, stuff like that, helps move the pace along a lot better and make it more entertaining to everybody who's there. I'm a fan of those. Some of the other changes I'm not really as big on. You know, I kind of have to go with the flow if the league decides to go that way. We have something unique in the Frontier League in terms of extra innings, and that is a sudden death inning. I'll not share my personal opinion on it, but it's the situation where you go into it and the home team gets to pick whether they bat or pitch. Again, if you have to explain baseball. Anyway, they pick whether you're going to be up to plate or pitch. If you're up to play, you get a runner on first. If a run scores in the inning, the team batting wins. If a run does not score in the inning, the team pitching wins. It's interesting. You know, I've only seen it play out once, and our center fielder misplayed something, kind of dove for it, and the ball went, got past him with two outs, so the runner on first was able to run all the way around. I was like, ah. Is really a two outs, two strikes, ball goes out to him, you think he's going to catch it. Every possible thing says, hey, this game's about to be over. And then, yeah, it goes. But, you know, it is, in terms of testing out new stuff, the Atlantic League, which is a different MLB partner league, it's out on the East Coast, tends to get a lot more of that kind of stuff. They had the, you know, mound pushed back for a few feet and that kind of stuff. We luckily have not had to do that kind of guinea pig kind of things quite yet. But we do reflect a lot of the same changes. We have the disengagement rules. We have some of those things in place as well for the season.
You talk about all of the changes that you've had to encounter, and you kind of did peel back the curtain a little bit of a question that I wanted to ask about. You know, in your time, you've seen Major League Baseball contract Minor League Baseball, and you're saying that Frontier League is now a partner league. And I know that, you know, you're not affiliated with a major league club, so you're not hampered by having a major league ball club make personnel decisions for you. Has that, though, the contraction of Minor League Baseball for the affiliated clubs, has that impacted what you're doing in Schaumburg, whether positively or negatively?
Absolutely, it has impacted things in multiple ways. You know, right as COVID was starting, the Frontier League had absorbed the Can-Am League, which is how we ended up so large, how we go all the way to the East Coast. Excuse me. And during that time, we had made some roster changes. Pre-COVID, the Frontier League was very age restrictive. You had to, you know, couldn't be over 27 or 26. So it was very young. A very, you know, kind of limited bubble of players that you could get, with intent to try and put as many players into the affiliated system as you can. But pre-COVID, when you had 160 or whatever it was, minor league teams, there was so many affiliated players that if we had a guy picked up, he was probably going to A ball or high A, very good chance he wasn't going to stay there long. You know, that's kind of, we'd occasionally get a guy make the big leagues. Jake Cousins, who pitches for the Milwaukee Brewers, was on our team in 2019. Would, you know, get a few of those, but it was pretty few and far between, right? And now post-COVID, you have 40 less or so affiliated teams. You take that many times the 30, you know, 27 players on those rosters. That's how many fewer players are in affiliated baseball. That not only opens up the talent pool for us to acquire talent, because our roster rules have changed, we can pick up more guys. It shortens the path between our players and the big leagues. And I think that it has also shortened the gap in talent between our guys and AA, for example. And I'm going to use a couple examples of real players. Our MVP in 2021, Quincy Neoporte, went to the Detroit Tigers organization in 2022. Unfortunately, this year he's out for the year with a shoulder surgery, but in 2022, he was the MVP of AA, of the AA league. He absolutely destroyed it, 30 home runs plus, killed it, he had a very good shot at big leagues this year. But, you know, he stepped straight from our batter's box into the AA and continued to destroy the ball. Our closer from last year, Darryl Thompson, you could look him up. He put up absolute video game numbers in terms of K rates and everything else. Got picked up by the Milwaukee Brewers. He's absolutely dominating AA right now as a lefty reliever. You know, we had another guy, Ryan Middendorf, picked up. He's in AA. We got guys all over affiliated ball right now that are leaving our league and stepping straight into high A, stepping straight into AA, and doing the same results that they were having here. And I think that says how much the talent level has jumped up exponentially in our league, and how much better baseball became as a result of some of that moving around and how everything happened, shook out.
We can talk baseball behind the scenes, on the field, all of it, all day long. Yeah, they try to shut down the lights because we've been going so long. That's all we do is talk baseball and fun, all of it. But before we let Michael go, before we ask him kind of his most exciting, what he's most excited about heading into this upcoming season, Devin, we'll leave you the last journalistic question, if you will. You can't use that with a bunch of schmucks like us. Yeah. But Devin, the last serious question, if you will.
I'm the journalist here in a sweater and a Bears hat. Okay, that makes me feel something, guys. But Michael, you talk about how you have, you know, a few guys now that have actually moved on to AA and Major League here. So I guess I'll ask you the question of, is there anyone on the team that you currently think now on the Boomers that can make it to majors, or any players we should watch out for? Basically, whose autograph do I got to get before the game that'll go way up in value the next time? So
more often than not, it's pitchers that get picked up because of the rate of injuries you see in MLB and AA, AAA. But I would say on the roster right now, probably Chase Dawson. He was one of our better players last year. He's back this year. He set the triples record last year. He hit 24 triples in the 96-game season. He went to the All-Star game where he hit a triple, you know, like on cue. And something to keep in mind is our field is a replication of Wrigley, so it's the exact same dimensions as Wrigley Field. So if you're fast and you can put a hard line drive down in one of the two power alleys, you can run for days. And that's exactly what happens. But he's a phenomenal all-around player. And I'd say he's probably near the top. Spring training just started yesterday, so it's a little bit tough for me to get a good evaluation on some of the new guys that came in. But there's a lot of them that are pretty good. Alec Craig, we have. I mean, he walks constantly. He just sits there and, like, watches pitches. His ability to understand the strike zone is crazy. If you ever want to look up weird stats, look at his batting average compared to his on-base percentage. It's insane how much he walks in a game. But walks aren't exciting. I mean, you got it. People are here because they want to see the long ball, right?
Yeah, you know? They matter. You know what else matters, Mike, Michael, is that you guys care. You guys seem to want to get the best out of their fans, and we thank you for being a part of our Bay Poly. Well,
One more journalistic question. Yeah. You know, it was amazing to me kind of researching for this that, you know, the team's been around since 2012, and it's amazing how time flies. So starting your 12th season, you've had the benefit of having the same manager the entire time, Jamie Bennett. I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the consistency of having a field manager like Jamie Bennett, who's brought a track record of success over the years here in Schaumburg.
You know, a couple things on that. First off, as someone coming in as an operator who's, you know, obviously we have to worry about the baseball, but I've got a lot of focus and stuff to do on the business operations. Knowing that you have a field manager who's been here for so many years and is absolutely one of the best to do it. I mean, we've won 4 of the last 9 league championships. We've been in 5 of the last 9 league championship series. On my list of worries in the off season is never, are we going to find good ball players? You know, because I know that Jamie's going to find them. You know, he's very good at what he does. And that's been incredible. On the other side, in the same kind of realm, if you've been around baseball for a while, you know that managers tend to be eccentric. They tend to be a little bit, you know, big personalities. I have never worked with a more chill and relaxed person in my life. I keep expecting, you know, something to happen. You know, instead of getting, you know, upset about little things, be like, all right, cool. You know, just moves along with his day. but Jamie's been an absolute find as a manager and is one of the best and most respected across not just our league, but all the MLB partner leagues.
You know, one of the things that I love about this conversation that we've had is, you know, the way that you carry yourself and the way you represent the organization, and then the communication and partnership you have with the manager, the coaching staff, the team, but the humbleness, the fact that Michael Larson has joined us this entire time and has not even brought up that he ate 3 pounds of barbecue on a dare. This is unbelievable that he has buried the lead the entire time here in Chicago. How dare you, Sir Paul? I'm too late to continue this conversation.
We're curious. And I saw that as a fun fact on the website. I'm wondering what the dare was. You okay. Know, did you get anything out of it? And what kind of barbecue did you eat?
The place was called Q Barbecue. The one we went to was in LaGrange Park. And, you know, our PA announcer is from there. And one day he was coming in and he had some leftover barbecue. I'm like, oh, it looks good. He's like, yeah, I get this thing called the Papa Q platter. And then I have, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a lot of food. I see it. And he's like, I go, you just eat the whole thing? He goes, no human could ever eat this whole thing. this is a platter for 3 to 4 people. And I was like, oh, challenge accepted. And goes, that was not a challenge.
Yeah. Good barbecue is good barbecue.
I'm like, I'll do it. So we went down for lunch. And there's a 4 or 5 of us. We each ordered a Papa Q platter, you know, so there's enough food to feed 15 people. Everyone else tapped out halfway through. And as painful as it was, because this included the sides, I had the big cornbread, I had the mac and cheese. And I painfully put it all the way down. And the folks working there, I guess that's not a food challenge for them. It's not something that they actively try to get people to do. But they were quite impressed themselves. They hand wrote a note and took a picture, and I have that on my wall in my office. And our PA announcer likes to point out that, and I didn't do this intentionally, but it's how it played out. I have multiple, like GM of the Year awards, but I ate the full, Papa Q platter, handwritten award. It sits higher on my wall in the terms of esteem and accomplishments.
We look forward to next season's awesome 4th of July event. Papa Q's challenge, Michael Larson, take him on one-on-one. Every fan over on the game, we will go for his title belt. Michael, this has been an absolute pleasure. People go to boomersbaseball.com. Check out the entire schedule, the promotion schedule, May 19th. Make sure you're there. It is the home opener. Fireworks, the whole shebang. We talked about it on and off the air. Opening day. There's nothing better in any sport than opening day in baseball. Michael Larson, we appreciate you. You are an amazing representative of the organization, and you are a friend of the sports cubicle. We can't wait to see you out at the stadium.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate being on.